I'm Jen Cutter, and welcome to DTNS Gaming News Monthly for February 2022, your one-stop catch-up for the biggest gaming stories from the past month, with a heads-up on the major game releases for the month ahead. This show will help bring you up to speed with the info you need to know about the discourse. 2022 really started off full sprint, so here we go. The Entertainment Software Association canceled its in-person E3 event this year, citing ongoing health risks, but the ESA could not confirm whether there would be a digital event. As every major publisher runs their own online event semi-regularly, this cancellation won't have the same impact as it would have many years ago. I'd like to note a number of publishers are quietly happy they get to pre-produce everything, not have to do it live, and not have to spend the gratuitous amounts of money E3 costs. Setting up their own online events also lets them avoid having to deal with everyone competing for everyone's attention at the exact same time. Valve announced Steam Deck consoles will go on sale Friday, February 25th at 10 a.m. to customers with reservations, with emails sent out in the same order reservations were made. Customers will have 3 days to place an order, and new email batches will go out weekly. If you're still looking to secure your own, you can reserve one with a $5 deposit, though shipping is currently estimated for Q2. Valve also announced Dynamic Cloud Sync for the Steam Deck, automatically sending progress to the cloud when in sleep mode and letting users resume gaming on a regular PC. Dynamic Cloud Sync will automatically download saved game changes from a PC to Steam Deck, enabling seamless gaming on the go. Epic filed its opening brief in its appeal of the September District Court decision that the iOS App Store does not qualify as an abuse of a monopoly position. The filing to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals makes the argument that the district court erred in its application of antitrust law regarding multiple behaviors, including tying its in-app payment system to distribution in the App Store. Epic may look to have the appeals court define the market differently in order to show a broader market dominance by Apple. 35 U.S. state attorneys general, Microsoft, and the Electronic Frontier Foundation campaign group filed briefs in support of the appeal, with Microsoft saying, "Few companies have controlled the pipe through which such an enormous range of economic activity flows." After the news that quality assurance workers at Raven Software formed the Game Workers Alliance with the Communication Workers of America, parent company Activision Blizzard said it will not voluntarily recognize the union. Dozens of Raven's QA workers have been on strike since early December after new contracts for 12 team members were denied. Next up for the union is to file a petition to the National Labor Relations Board for a new union election. Activision Blizzard's statement said, in part, "Across the company, we believe that a direct relationship between managers and team members allows us to quickly respond and deliver the strongest results and opportunities for employees." The Communication Workers of America replied in their own statement, "This was an opportunity for Activision Blizzard to show a real commitment setting new and improved standards for workers, and we are proud to file with the NLRB as we enjoy supermajority support for our union and know that together we will gain the formal legal recognition we have earned." And Square Enix resumed selling Final Fantasy XIV after suspending sales for 6 weeks due to overwhelmed servers, though the free trial remains on hold. The long-running MMO received a new Oceania data center, with plans to open more servers in Europe this July, with North America and Japan getting more hardware in 2023. Microsoft announced plans to acquire Activision Blizzard, making them the third largest gaming company behind Tencent and Sony, acquiring Activision Blizzard for $95 per share in an all-cash transaction valued at $68.7 billion. The press release reads, "This acquisition will accelerate the growth in Microsoft's gaming business across mobile, PC, console, and cloud, and will provide building blocks for the metaverse." For a quick flashback, in November 2021, Microsoft boss Phil Spencer reportedly told staff he was disturbed and deeply troubled by the horrific events and actions at Activision Blizzard, and Microsoft is evaluating all aspects of our relationship with Activision Blizzard and making ongoing, proactive adjustments. Deals like this rarely happen overnight, and that goes double for giant enterprises, so I guess that's one way to proactively affect relationship changes. Bloomberg sources also reported that during Microsoft and Activision acquisition chats, Activision had approached Meta and at least one other unnamed large company about acquiring them instead. It was only after not receiving serious interest from the other groups that the deal with Microsoft got finalized. On the day of the announcement, Microsoft chairman and CEO Satya Nadella tweeted, "Together with Activision Blizzard, we will usher in a new era of gaming that puts players and creators first and makes gaming safe, inclusive, and accessible to all." Microsoft announced Game Pass service subscribers increased 38% on the year to over 25 million gamers, though they didn't say how many were on the console plan, the PC plan, or both. The company plans to incorporate Activision Blizzard games in Game Pass in the future, but there's no word currently about the fate of Battle.net, which is somehow 25 years old now, and I'm sorry if that hurt. Hey, remember when the live-action Halo TV show was first announced? Me neither, but apparently it was back in 2018 and originally was Showtime, but now it's a Paramount Plus exclusive dropping March 24th. A new trailer is out showing what appears to be a faithful recreation of the traditional Master Chief look, so now we wait and see how the story and performances shake out. If you don't want to wait that long for a screen adaptation of a video game, there's also that Uncharted movie with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg releasing shortly. Sony didn't let Microsoft hold the gaming news spotlight for long, announcing it intends to acquire the Destiny 2 developer Bungie for $3.6 billion. Sony says the company will remain an independent subsidiary and free to self-publish and reach players at its discretion. Bungie's moved around a bunch over the years after their founding in 1991. They were acquired by Microsoft in 2000, making Halo an Xbox console launch title and now long-running Microsoft series that they are no longer part of making. Bungie went independent in 2007, then signed a 10-year publishing deal with Activision in 2010, before ending the partnership in 2019. Activision's insistence on cranking out Destiny expansions yearly put quite a strain on teams and leadership, leading to the breakup. Now that there was Sony, Bungie's new IP expected in 2025 is gonna... well, no one knows yet. Though Sony said they'll be independent, no one will be surprised if it ends up a Sony title. Stranger things have happened, though, as the long-running Sony-published MLB The Show series stretched out to include Xbox releases for 2021, even showing up on Game Pass. And now MLB The Show 22 will include the Nintendo Switch for the first time ever. Sony now allowing cross-platform play, cross-saves, and cross-progression shows actual change at a company that previously banned Fortnite cross-play back in 2018, when Fortnite was the biggest thing in the gaming universe. For Sony fans wondering about the near-term future of Call of Duty, Xbox chief Phil Spencer confirmed the company will honor all existing Activision Blizzard agreements, meaning they are committed to releasing at least the next three on Sony hardware. Speaking of Sony hardware, in December the company announced PlayStation VR 2 for the PlayStation 5. Currently there's no info on price, release date, or even what the headset will actually look like, just that it'll be an add-on to the PS5, use HDR OLED panels, and feature haptic feedback and internal eye tracking. Also in December, Bloomberg uncovered documents of Sony's plans to launch a competing service to Game Pass, codenamed Spartacus, and expected to launch sooner than later. It would reportedly merge the existing PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now services, with multiple price points granting access to different game catalogs, much like how Nintendo Switch Online has a higher price tier for access to 64 and Genesis games, while SNES and NES titles are included in the base level. Has any of this news made you think about getting a PS5? Well, that's still not the easiest thing to do. While Sony planned to end production of the PlayStation 4 at the end of 2021, they're now producing PS4s through 2022 because I guess having a console to sell people is better than none. And Sony's most recent state of play was all about Gran Turismo 7, with nary a peep about anything else, sadly. Now, I could easily do 15 minutes on Gran Turismo alone, so instead I'll say the game looks ridiculously pretty. I hope it takes advantage of the PS5 controller haptics, since that's how most players will experience driving. And I'll be running a stopwatch to see how long before a new infinite credits glitch gets discovered. Those are always fun. You may have noticed a trend lately of cloud-based games hitting the Nintendo Switch. If you're skeptical of how fluidly such titles run, as you'd be right to be before dropping $90 on the Kingdom Hearts collection, Digital Foundry did an excellent breakdown worth checking out covering several currently available cloud-based titles. The very, very short version of their in-depth testing is the price points are too high for what the end product ends up feeling and looking like. Unsurprisingly, a strong internet connection is critical for cloud gaming to be usable at all, and their tests on 4G had things falling apart quick. If you want to run a test in your own environment, there are Kingdom Hearts demos available, just keep in mind the 10 to 15 minute time limit. Now I'm going to talk about something weird. I'm declaring it Nintendo block worthy because it must have been lab designed to draw the eye of Nintendo and Game Freak lawyers. It's called PAL World. And it's a fully bonkers Pokemon world mixed with third-person shooter mixed with nightmare fuel looking adventures. The official description on Steam says, PAL World is a brand new, multiplayer, open-world survival crafting game where you can befriend and collect mysterious creatures called PAL in a vast world. Make your pals fight, build, farm, and work in factories. Should you be bold enough to seek out the trailer, you'll see exactly what they mean about how the Pokemon, I mean pals, work in factories. If developer Pocket Pair made their art like this on purpose to get press, it's totally working. I've watched the various trailers dozens of times. If you're familiar with Pokemon, you can name each and every pal you see. It's not subtle. The worst part is I totally want to play it. Since I'm rambling about Pokemon and things that make lawyers go hmm in public, an individual named Dragon made a first-person shooter starring Pokemon, and all their clips and videos got claimed by the Pokemon Company International. The developer posted to Twitter that development of the game continues, and the next patch will remove all the Pokemon. He notes Nintendo has not sued nor issued a cease and desist, just the takedowns. If you want to see what it looked like, video can still currently be found on the Unreal Engine and Indie Gaming subreddits. Please note that this unofficial Pokemon FPS by Dragon is different than the other unofficial Pokemon FPS by Mix Morris. That one's based off Pokemon Snap and called Pokemon Snipe. It remains available as of recording time. Notable releases this February include the already out Life is Strange Remastered Collection on PlayStations, Xboxes, PC, and Switch. Also out now is Dying Light 2 Stay Human on everything except the Switch. 2D skateboarding adventure game Ollie Ollie World drops February 8th, looking like a nice vibe experience where one can quest to be the gnarliest on every platform you can name. Also February 8th is Sifu on PlayStation 4, 5, and PC. Sifu is a third-person beat-em-up, but note there is no multiplayer option. Lost Ark goes live on PC on the 11th, and it's a free-to-play MMO action RPG that previously launched in South Korea in 2018. It'll now have servers for North American and European regions. Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires launches on the 15th on PlayStations, Xboxes, PC, and Switch. King of Fighters 15 hits PlayStations, Xboxes, and PC on February 17th, and the 18th sees Horizon Forbidden West release on PlayStation 4 and 5. Total War Warhammer 3 lands on PC February 17th, and Bungie's latest Destiny 2 expansion, The Witch Queen, will be live February 22nd wherever you prefer to grind with your Guardian. On the 24th, driving game fans can enjoy the fifth title in the Grid series, Grid Legends, on everywhere but the Switch, and on March 4th, Gran Turismo 7 will be on PS4 and PS5. Also releasing March 4th is Triangle Strategy, a poorly named but interesting Final Fantasy Tactics-looking strategy RPG published by Square Enix for the Switch. That's it for this month, and what a month it was to start 2022. If you have any kind of gaming questions, PC, consoles, mobile, retro, whatever, feel free to ping me on Twitter or Instagram. Both are at Jen Cutter, and that's Jen with two N's. Have fun out there, and I look forward to bringing you another gaming news catch-up next month.